help us to understand eternity. Help us to understand Your time. Help us, Lord Jesus, by the power of Your Spirit, that we may truly know today is the day that we make the decision to live Your Word. Help us today, Lord Jesus, to be born of above. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be born of Your Word, Your Spirit, Your truth, Your light. Help our hearts, Lord Jesus, to become like Yours. Father God, that You may be glorified, in Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, Amen. One of the things that I'm impressed with over and over and over again as I travel and as I minister to different churches, different cities, but always people, is that Jesus made two distinctions of how you would know His people. And there was only two. He said, you will know My disciples, My disciplined ones, by their love for one another and by their fruit. It's the only way you'll know a Christian. You can't know a Christian, or a Christian cannot reveal himself to the world except through the love of God, through the love of the Spirit, the love of the Word, and by the fruit that follows Him. Now, the fruit of the Spirit that lives in us is love. So you've still got the love area. The fruit of the Spirit is patience. The fruit of the Spirit is kindness. Fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. A fruit of the Spirit is self-control. Fruit of the Spirit is joy, thanksgiving. Those are the fruits of the Spirit of God that lives in us, that identifies us as Christian. Let me say to all of you now that I am convinced, as I read Scripture, as I am led of the Spirit of God, I am convinced that my salvation depends on You. My salvation depends on You. My salvation depends on my commitment to You. You are an extremely important person in my life, and I've just met you. Those that I've known most of my life and those that I haven't met yet, every single person that lives in this world is a key to my salvation. In the first epistle of John, the 4th chapter, beginning with the 16th verse, it says, we ourselves have known and put our faith in God's love towards ourselves. I want to tell you wonderful people something this morning. God loves you with a love that is beyond your comprehension. We don't understand in our feeble, ineffective mind, we cannot understand the depths and the compassion and the mercy of God's love for us. There's just no way. In John 3:16 it said, for God so loved Charlie Osborne. For God so loved the world. For God so loved Gertrude. God so loved Hilda. For God so loved Betty that He sent His only begotten Son. He sent Jesus that we might be saved, that whosoever would believe in Him, whosoever would confess Him, would be saved. to confess Jesus, the word confess, we've learned this week, means, from the Greek, means the definition or the explanation of the word confess means homo logos. It means, homo means the same. Logos is word. So to confess Jesus is to say the same that Jesus said, to do the same that Jesus did, to live the same that He lived. And His whole commitment was to love you. Everything that has ever been put into motion by Almighty God was to show mercy and grace and love for us. So in my walk with Jesus, as I receive the mercy and the grace from Him, I must be a carrier of that mercy and that grace. And this is the way you identify me as a follower of Jesus. It's not by the church that I go to. It's not by the clothes that I wear. It's not the way I do my hair. It's not by the shoes that I wear. It's my attitude toward you. In Philippians 2:5, it says, we must have the same mind as Christ. Yes. And it is the Word of God that puts the mind of Christ in me, and that mind in me is geared toward you. It's got to be. If I have a relationship with God, I have a relationship with you. That relationship is love. It can't be anything else, because in 1st Epistle of John, 4th chapter, reading on from the 16th verse, it said, God is love. Now, we've talked about the Father of God, Father being the God. Now, if Father God is a God of love, then we are His offspring. We are children of His love. We can't be anything else. We are born of the Spirit of God, which is a spirit of love. And we've talked this week over and over and over on the beginning of the sermon that Jesus preached. In fact, the only sermon that He preached, all the rest of the time He spent explaining that sermon was the Sermon on the Mount, and He says, love your enemy. If we are saved by grace, through the mercy of Almighty God, and we become carriers of that grace, it requires grace to love your enemy. It does not require grace for me to love this brother here, because he is a spiritual man. Our spirits witness to one another. We have good fellowship, and it requires no grace for me to love him. We are brothers in love, in the same Father. But see, because of who we are, this sister may not know that she's a brother in God. She may not understand that. She may still be living in the world. Now, our commitment is to love her the same way Jesus loved her. It is that kind of love that will restore the kingdom of God in us and bring unity to the world. Amen. Nothing else will do it. Amen. I don't care who's got what church. It's only the Spirit of God that will bring unity to the body. And that unity, you will be able to notice it by the love that they have for one another. By the fruits of the Spirit of love that flows from them, which is patient with one another. We're patient with sinners. We're kind to sinners because we're sinners. It's by grace that we're saved. It's by mercy that we're saved. So we share the mercy and the grace that God's had on me. It doesn't give me the right to come and condemn and criticize and slam bash and say, you're going to hell. No, Jesus loves you and I love you and I'm going to do everything I can to get you to heaven. I'm going to live that living sacrifice. Being a Christian doesn't allow me to be a judge. I can't judge God's kingdom. I'm not a judge. I'm a servant to His kingdom on this earth. Amen. It said, God is love, and anyone who lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. God lives in him. It's that simple, folks. It is not difficult to be a Christian. You just got to be willing to die. You just got to be willing, and you can't be willing to kill. You just got to be willing to die. Physically, the flesh has to be willing to die. And the only way that that can ever happen is through the supernatural act of the Holy Spirit to bring into us the knowledge and the wisdom of our eternal life. And in that, I know that this life is temporary, that I'm going to die, and it's how I treat you that's going to allow me to live in the next world. And folks, when you start living this, you'll be rejected. I'm rejected more as I go along. And I fully expect the stronger I get, the more I'll be rejected. But we're to rejoice in the rejection. We're not to go, oh, you know, I just got thumbed. I say, glory to God, somebody else just rejected me. Hallelujah. What do we get all uptight for? Somebody don't like me, glory to God. It's because I'm serving Jesus. I'm serving the body. I'm preaching the word, healing the sick, loving my brothers and sisters, whether they like it or not. And you can't get rid of me. I'm just like a guy called me a tar baby. He said, you stick wherever you go, man. He said, I just can't get rid of you. A tar baby. He said, man, you come and got all over me. He said, every time I move, you get a little tighter. Isn't that what we're supposed to be? But if you're judging, you never become a tar baby. You become a separator. If you're condemning, you never become a tar baby. You separate. We are supposed to love one another. That's the grace. That's the sacrifice that Jesus came. He didn't. I'm not going to say he liked it because he said, Lord, let this cup pass me by. I don't know whether I want to die for Gertrude or not. I don't know whether I want to die for Charlie or not. But your will be done. I'll love the sapsucker anyhow. Because you love him. Folks, that's the attitude we've got to take. I love my bishops whether they love me or not. I love my Pope, whether he loves me or not. I love my church, whether they love me or not. Doesn't matter what they do, it's what I've got to do. I depend on them for my salvation because it's the church that I can show my mercy towards. If I weren't being rejected, I wouldn't need any mercy. I'd just get along. The more I'm rejected, the more mercy and the more grace must flow from me. Amen. It's the whole message. It's the whole gospel is all balled up into that. It's my attitude toward you. My attitude. We must have the attitude of Christ. He says, I love you and I died for you. And Charlie, you got to be willing to do the same thing. Whatever you do to the least of mine, you just done it to who? So my salvation depends on you. Whatever you do to the least, you just done it to God. So if I would mistreat you, I'd mistreat God. If I would be critical and judgmental to you, I'd be critical and judgmental to God. I wouldn't particularly think too much of what God's done in you. Whether you're saved or not. See, it's in this love, in this attitude, that Jesus came and saved the world, redeemed the world. And He's given us the mission to take this message to the world and tell the world, you've been reconciled. Your sins have been forgiven. God's paid a price for you. Turn, repent, recognize the fact that you're a sinner and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and begin to love everybody. Most of our Christians get saved, they become judges of everyone. Want to straighten the world out. I can't straighten the world out. Jesus straightened it out 2,000 years ago for those that will turn to Him. He straightened it out for me. There's nothing left for me to do but proclaim what He's done. To live in what He said. To do what He did. Nothing left for me to do. He made it very easy for us. But He said you got to be willing to die. And our whole system is against death. Work hard, retire, have a good income, relax, enjoy yourself, take a vacation. Nothing about death. We'll do everything we can do to keep you alive. We've got the finest medicine in the world. And when your heart runs out, we've got plastic hearts now. We will begin, you know, to keep this thing alive. One of the heart patients, they just put a new heart into him a year or so ago. He's the oldest living man that has a plastic heart. Do you know the first thing he asked for when he was revived? He asked for a Coors beer. Something that would soothe the flesh. Something that would satisfy the flesh. My dear brothers and sisters, your flesh shall never be satisfied. In this world, because it is corruptible, it is sinful, and God looks at it with contempt, and we must look at it with contempt. I do not yield to my flesh all the time. I'm practicing self-control. One of the fruits of the Spirit. I'm going to tell you, wonderful saints, I've not arrived yet. So therefore, I can't condemn anyone. Amen. I've not arrived yet. Jesus has paid the price and has made the way, has given me the words, has filled me with His Spirit, and my journey each day that I walk is a battle against my flesh. My flesh would react to this brother. My flesh would react. But the Spirit of God doesn't react. It acts in love. My spirit, the Spirit of God that lives in me, responds in love. All right. What I'd like to do now is show you how... I'm not going to say it's easy. Well, it is easy. God said He revealed it to the mere children. He made it easy for those that would listen and hear. He said, for you that have ears, hear. He made it easy for us to walk in our salvation. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love your husband. And the word love there means to be patient and kind and gentle. You see, it takes great faith for me to stay in the church that I'm in. It just takes faith to stay in a Roman Catholic church. If you don't have no faith, you don't stay. Because see, faith produces what? Love. And love is what? I'm patient with them. I didn't say my flesh enjoyed it. Sometimes my flesh gets sick. But I said, I'm not walking by my flesh. I'm walking by the Spirit of God. So I bring my flesh under subjection. I don't care whether you like it or not. Get in there. Amen. The flesh. We have to crucify. God is a God of love. And anyone that lives in love lives in God, and God lives in him. Now I want to take you to Luke's Gospel, the 16th chapter, the 19th verse, and preach to you a great hate message. Notice I didn't say love message. I want to preach to you a damnation message. The only thing that will send you to hell. According to my Bible. We talked all week about love, 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 love. And I want you to listen to a brother that forgot to love. Now, when I read this, I want you to know that God is speaking to me. This whole book was written to me. It was written about me. It was written for me. From Genesis to Revelations, my life has been affected by this book. I can take you anywhere in here and show you where Charlie Osborne is affected by the Word of God. Now, I want you to see how this affects us, how this sits in our life, and what I'd like for you to do when I begin to read this. I want you to discern which category you fit in. Will you do that for me? Because I'm going to ask you. It said, there was a rich man who used to dress in purple and fine linen, and he feasted magnificently every day. Now, a rich man is one that is able to dress himself, and he is able to eat anytime he wants to. That's the criteria of a rich man. It doesn't say here how much he had in his bank account or how much property he owned. It just said that he was able to eat magnificently every day. Anytime he wanted to, he could eat. That's the basis of a rich man. And it said, at his gate there lay a poor man. We've got two categories. Called Lazarus. Covered with sores, who longed to fill himself from the scraps that fell from the rich man's table. Dogs even came and licked his sores. Now, what I want you to do is to place yourself in one of the other categories. Are we able to eat anytime we want to? Or would we be considered wealthy, or would we be considered poor? All right, let's all say that. Folks, this is so important. Because I'm going to tell you wonderful saints this, and you've all heard it thousands of times. Jesus told Peter, he said, Peter, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to get into the kingdom of God. It is very difficult for the rich to get into the kingdom of God. How many of you know how a camel gets through the eye of a needle? Tell me, sister. I've heard that preached, but you know that's not the way a camel gets through the eye of the needle. Now, we're talking about a needle. Well, yes, he does. A camel can go through the eye of a needle. Now, if you had to put one through the eye of a needle, how would you go about doing it? You'd have to tear him apart, wouldn't you? You'd have to take him apart piece by piece, little teeny pieces, and stuff him through the needle. In other words, when he come out the other side, you'd have a pile of junk. It wouldn't be alive, would it? It'd be dead. Jesus said if he died for all men, then all men should be dead, no longer living for themselves, but living for the one that died for all. That's the way a camel goes through the eye of a needle, and that's the way a rich man will come into the kingdom of God. It will be violently. We've looked at salvation as something that's just another confession of the mouth. But when you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you believe it in your heart, and you begin to live the life that Jesus had, your flesh will become sick. You'll do things that you don't want to do. They tell me that when a baby is born into the world, one of the most violent things that can go on in a woman and a child's life is at birth. It is violent. It's even more violent to be born into the kingdom of God because you've got to be willing to sacrifice your flesh. It's a sacrifice. You got to be willing to die. And that's the way the camel goes through the eye of a needle. He doesn't get down on his knees and crawl through a gate and take off his back. He has to be put through piece by piece by piece. Did you ever hear this? That when fire, the gold goes through the fire and it comes out the other side, it comes out as pure gold. All the impurities are taken out. That's a violent operation. That, you know how hard it gets to bring the impurities of gold out to make pure gold? It is a violent thing. Well, our flesh has to go through this. And to love your enemy is the beginning of the destruction of the flesh. If you make the decision that you're going to love your enemy, I'm going to tell you, you'll go through suffering and you'll go through pain and you will go through agony. But after a while, it'll get good. It doesn't say you have to stay in it. God, after you get into it and you see that it works and it's real and you're pulled through it, all of a sudden, you say, wow, this is fun. Because this coat doesn't mean anything anymore. You're the one that means something. This pew doesn't mean anything anymore. You're the one that's important. This building has no value. You're the one that has value. The cars that we drive have no purpose other than to haul sons and daughters around, breaking and bringing them into the praise and the worship gatherings that we can praise God. Things of the world. And see, this is what we've got to be torn. We have to be torn away from. That's the violence to the flesh that we must go through. And folks, listen, most of us aren't willing to go through it. It's hard. I struggle with it. Even to this day, I struggle with it. St. Paul said he walked out his salvation. Well, it was a struggle. Oh, God. He said, I run the race. I won the war. I won the battle. I fought the good fight of faith. It's something that you got to do each day and each moment, and it always involves people. You can't shut yourself up in a monastery somewhere and be holy and pure because God's the one that does that. You can't make yourself holy and pure. And we become holy loving our enemy. That's different. It's set apart. The world hates their enemy. They're ready to kill them. But we're ready to love them. It's what makes us holy. Amen. Now, if we fit in this rich category, folks, I suffer with this every day. I know this scripture. Let me tell you how I discovered this scripture. I was sitting at a full gospel businessmen's meeting in a little town in California at 7 o'clock in the morning, and they always like to feed the speaker first. I mean, they rush you in, and you're a good speaker. You know, everybody's trying to get a hold of you, and they rush you in, and they go, and they sit you down, and they give you, you know, what do you want? Whatever you want, you can have it. And I says, a mushroom omelet. I love mushrooms. And they bring it in before they bring anybody else's food in, and I blessed it in a hurry, you know. And I tore into it. drinking that coffee. It was so good I could hardly stand it. Man, I mean, it was good. I just eat on it. And Hilda looked over at me, and see, all of this time that I'm eating, I'm trying to let the Lord speak to me what I'm to speak on. Lord, what am I going to talk about this morning? I've never studied the Bible. And I'm just going through it. Oh, I don't know how to preach that. I don't know how to preach. I mean, I'm really in trouble. And I said, Lord, what am I going to say? And as I was eating, you know, and witnessing to the people at the table, Hilda, is she here? There she is. Hilda looked over at me and she said, Charlie, you've done it again. I said, Hilda, done what? She said, look at your tie. And I had mushroom egg dribblings from right here all the way down. And my eyes kept going to the floor. And between my legs, there lay a good sized teaspoon full, of scrambled eggs. And I had just read this gospel. There was a rich man. Folks, I know y'all laughing, but I'm going to tell you, I broke down and cried. And folks, I'm still crying over it. Because it's only by mercy and grace will I ever enter into the kingdom of God. It's nothing that I can do. I can't do it. Jesus will have to do it. And I totally depend on Him in my inability to do the things that I want to do. The things that I want to do, I can't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing. It's mercy that will get me into the kingdom of God. Amen. Not anything that you can do.